You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Rose Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bless the Lord. Clap your hands and bless Him once again. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's pray. Father, we thank you once again. We thank you for this wonderful time you've given us to be in your presence. We praise you and worship you, Lord. And we thank you for this time that you've given us in your presence. And we know that our lives will never be the same again. Hallelujah. Father, we know that no man and no woman will go outside this church the same we came. We ask of you. We ask of your presence, Lord. And Father, right now, send your Spirit. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you gave us to comfort us, to teach us, to direct us. Father, we are going to read the scriptures. We are going to read your word. We are going to share your word. But we ask your Spirit to interpret these words to us. And bless us, Lord. We are going to have a good time in your presence. In the name of Jesus. Everyone say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless the Lord. We are going to have a good time in the presence of God. I'm so happy and excited to be here today. First of all, I want to appreciate the pastor and all the leadership of this church for allowing me to be here today. I'm so glad to be back here. It feels good in here. Amen. I like the spirit here, the spirit of excellency, the spirit of faith. It's so wonderful. Every time, I remember I came here two times. The last time when I came to visit Texas, I came here two times. But those two times made a difference in my life. Amen. And I thank God for the spirit that is here. You're looking so good. You're looking so good. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so happy to be here today. I bring greetings from Uganda. First of all, I bring greetings from my wife. I'm so happy. I have a beautiful wife. We got married in December, 16th December, and I feel good. I feel good. Hallelujah. Amen. And Uganda loves you. I bring greetings from Uganda, in East Africa, where I was born and raised, and I have served the church since I was 6 years, and I thank God for all those years He has blessed me. He has blessed me. We are experiencing such a revival in Uganda. God is raising Uganda from the ashes to the glory of God. Yes. Amen. Some years ago, Uganda wasn't what it is today. By the grace of God, God is blessing us, and churches are planted everywhere, and churches are filled up with people. People are getting saved. They are coming to the church. And the gospel is preached on the streets and in the church. If you miss going to church, you hear the gospel on the streets, in schools, hospitals. But, you know, God has done a great work in Uganda. Many years ago, Uganda wasn't like that. Churches were closed during the dictatorship time. Pastors were killed. Amen. And believers were put to prison. You know, you could not carry a Bible in public. But today, you carry the Bible everywhere you go. You preach the gospel everywhere you go, in schools, hospitals, and everywhere. Praise the Lord for Uganda. Amen. Hallelujah. Therefore, I bring greetings from Uganda. They love you so much. Amen. And, of course, Sweden. I've just moved to Sweden. I went to school there. During my Bible college, I went there and I went back to Uganda. But now I have moved back to Sweden. But we still have our ministry in Uganda. So I'll be Sweden, Uganda. And I love Texas. Hallelujah. My first time to come here, we learned two words. One that really excited me is fixing, you know. I'm fixing to go to church. I'm fixing to have dinner. I'm fixing to... Those are wonderful words. Amen. Amen. Texas is good. Hallelujah. Okay, now let's go into the word. Today I'm going to be speaking under a subject that I love so much. Amen. It has blessed my life in ministry. my spiritual life and physical life. You know, God blesses us in all areas of life. Amen? God wants to bless you physically and God wants to bless you spiritually. You know, God is not only interested in your spiritual life alone. But God is interested in your spiritual life and your physical life. God wants you to grow and prosper spiritually, and God wants you to grow and prosper physically. God wants, like Pastor said, God wants you to drive a good car. He wants you to have a good house. He wants you to have good kids and a good marriage and have money on your account, And God wants you to come to church and be blessed in church and grow spiritually. Know the scriptures. Know the power in the word of God and the power that God has given you. Know yourself. Discover yourself spiritually and physically. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today I'm going to be speaking under this subject that I love so much. Confession is possession. You want to have something? Confess it. Confession is possession. Everyone say confession. Confession is possession. This is a wonderful, wonderful church. Say, confession is possession. Now, you need to understand that whether positive or negative, there is a creative force behind a spoken word. Whether positive or negative, there is always, not sometimes, not in the morning, not in the afternoon, not at night, but all times, there is a force behind every spoken word, whether negative or positive. Amen? So you decide if you want to be positive in life or you want to be negative in life. If you want to be positive, confess positive. If you want to be negative, confess negative. But in all areas, at all times, whether negative or positive, it has a creative force behind it whenever you speak it. In order to really understand how the power of words work, there are some important principles that you need to understand and to grasp. And these principles are very, very important as far as the Word of God is concerned. Now, these two principles are, one, words are spiritual. Yes. Words are spiritual. Every word you speak has an effect on something. Why? Because you are created in God's image. Your words are spiritual because you're created in God's image. Now, God is a spirit. Now, we are a spirit being living in this box. Amen. My dad says that he comes from heaven. He came from heaven and he came here to serve God. Amen. Originally he comes from Uganda, but he says I'm not from Uganda. I'm from heaven because I'm a spirit being living in this box. We are created in God's image. Therefore, when we speak our words, they are spiritual. They come out to create. Words are spiritual because we are created in God's image. Let us go to Genesis and read that. Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. We are created in God's image. Hallelujah. 26 says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We are like God. We are like God. We are in the image of God. So don't look at your outside appearance. This is not you. Amen? This is not you. The you, the real you is inside of your box. Amen? The real you is inside of your box. So if people look at you and minimize you and underlook you, call you names, they don't know who you are. They need to know who you are. You are like God. You are a spirit being living in this box. Now, every word that comes out of a spirit being is a spiritual word. And when the spiritual word comes out,
it brings supernatural results. Every spirit word that you speak, every word you speak, it brings supernatural results. How many of you want to see supernatural things happen in your life? Begin to confess positive. Because when you speak a spiritual word, when you speak the word of God, oh my God, oh my God, results are going to come. Supernatural results are going to be manifested. And every time you speak negative, it will happen. Because your word is spiritual. It has power. It carries power. Number two, words carry power. Words carry power. Words carry one of the two types of power. One is death. Two is life. Every word you speak can kill or give life. Every word that comes out of your mouth comes out either to kill or to give life. Come on, amen. Are we together? Are you following me? So they carry these two types of power, life or death. Let us read Proverbs. Proverbs 18, 21. Our words carry death or life. 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it shall eat its fruit. So your words you speak, when you confess, know that you're either giving life or destroying or killing. Amen? Now let us have this good example of this woman that I really love in the Bible. An example, let us look at this example of the Shunammite woman. When she was rewarded of what, you know, she did for the man of God, Elisha, and Gehazi's servant. I believe many of you have an opportunity to read this story. When Elisha was moving and serving God, one time he went to Shunem and he meets this woman. Who had everything, you know, they had some good money with her husband, and the man of God used to come and visit and preach around and pray for people and do the work of God. And one time this woman was touched and said, hey, she went and talked to her husband and said, this man of God comes this way all the time. Let us give him a room in our house. You know, put everything there for him, and they did so. They began serving the man of God, and the man of God was so happy. Amen. You know, when you serve someone has to be happy. I like good food. When someone gives me good food, I really get happy and excited. You know, I love good food. Amen. So Elisha ate good food. Elisha had a good bed. Elisha had a good room, so he was happy, and he felt like prophesying. He felt like prophesying, and he called upon the woman and sent Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite woman to come to me. And the woman came and said, what can we do for you? Because you have really served us. You have blessed us. You have gone through all this trouble to make us happy. What can we do? And the woman says, can we talk to the king on your behalf of the command of the army? And the woman said, no, I live in my own people. I need nothing. And Gehazi was so fast, and he said, she has no son. And the man of God was so fast. He said, by this time next year, you will have a son. And the woman says, don't mislead your servant. The woman of God, don't. Because she had lost hope. And so it happened that time, as the man of God said, she had a baby. Praise God. Miracles happen. Miracles happen. I believe in miracles because I believe in a miracle working God. Miracles happen everywhere. Hallelujah. So the woman conceives and she gives birth. How many of you know that every time God blesses you, the enemy is out there looking for your miracle to kill it, to destroy it? Every time God gives you happiness and gives you joy and gives you life, the enemy is against what God has given you. But we are so happy and excited because we are surrounded by the blood of Jesus. Amen. By the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus protects our money, protects our children, protects our cars and houses and everything. Amen. I do not allow the enemy to touch what God has given me. I keep myself in the word of God, in prayer and believing to maintain what God has given me. Amen. We shall maintain what God has given us. And so the enemy touches the sun. And let us read 2 Kings. I'll read these verses for you. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4 verses 18. 2 Kings chapter 4 verses 18. These are the words I love in this book here. Hallelujah. 18 says, the child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the repairers. My head, he said to his father. His father told a servant, carry him to his mother. Do some men do that here? You know, when kids have problems, you go to your mother. Go to your mother. Talk to your mother. Amen. Hallelujah. The boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. Verses 21. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. 22. She called her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. 23. Why do you go to him today? He asked. Is not the new moon or the Sabbath? It's all right. She said, it is all right. Hallelujah. I like that. It is all right, she said. She sat on the donkey and said to her servant, lead on, do not slow down for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God and mounted Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, look, there is the Shunammite woman. Run to meet her and ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? And the woman said, everything is all right. Everything is all right. Oh my God. It amazes me. Though my son is dead, lying on the bed of the man of God, shut the door, it is all right. Yeah. Though my car is about to be taken by the bank, it is all right. Though I feel like getting sick, I feel like giving up, it is all right. Though I have a lot of enemies and nothing seems to work out, my business is dying and everything is dying, it is all right. Though I have no penny in my pockets, my account is dry, the bank is about to come to take my house and take everything away from me. Though I may look poor, sick and weak, it is all right. It is all right. This is the word that should be coming out of our mouth. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter what we see. Everything is all right. By faith, it is all right. We don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. It is all right. It doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what I go through. It is all right. Because confession is possession. You can create. You can change your situation. Do you hate what you see? Create again. Wake up in the morning and create. Cast what you don't want to see. We have been given the power. We are in the image of God, the Creator. We can create what we want to see. We can create the job we want. We can create the life we want. You can create what you need to see in your children. Don't wake up in the morning and be miserable because your kids are bad kids. You can change it. You can create what you want to see in the lives of your children. So this is what happened with the woman. And guess what? What she confessed came to pass. It was all right at the end of everything. The man of God had to go and the son get back to life. Because it was all right from her confession. You can create, you can bring back what has been destroyed and bring back life to your dead situation. You have the authority and all the power and all the potential, the capability to create, to bring back life to what seems dead. Amen. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the sick say, I am healed. Let the poor say, I am rich. You can create life to the dead situation. You can bring back life to your dead finances. You can bring back life to your stubborn kids. Amen. I don't care what is happening in your life, but we are here to create life. Come on, we are here to create life. We are here to speak the word of God. Because the words we speak are spiritual. They are so powerful. Woo, hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, I feel excited. We can create again. We can make it again. Yes, I know your life is kind of, corrupting, but we can create again. We can change it again. I know you're about to lose your beloved one, but you can create love again. You can bring back the relationship in your marriage. You can. Say, I can. I can. Hallelujah. I know what you're going through is not easy. And you may say, preacher, do you know what you're talking about? Do you know what is happening in my house? Come on, I know. All of us face such things. You are not the first one, but we can create again. Hallelujah to the name of God. Amen. Preacher, do you know that my kids have run away from my house and one of them is about to take me to police? Come on, we can create again. Your wife can come back. Your husband can come back. We can create again. We can create again. This woman created again. She spoke life. You know, many times believers come to church and say, Pastor, and many of them have come to me, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know. They're about to take my land. They're about to take this and this. You know, I'm so sick. I feel the pain here. And then I feel it here. And then I feel it here. And after you pray, after you say amen, she says, I'll see you again, but I don't know. I'll see you again. Let me hope it's all right. Don't just hope. Believe it is all right. Believe it is all right. Because you speak things and things happen. Hallelujah. Now, this is the secret I need to give you. Don't speak according to what you see. The Bible tells us that the seen are temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So don't speak things because you see poverty around you, because you see sickness around you, diseases around you, you see trouble and problems around you. Speak the word of God. Speak what you don't see. Amen. Hallelujah. You have a small house. Speak. Create another big house. Say, though I'm living in this small house, I'm going to live in a bigger house. I'm lacking this and this in my house, but I'm going to have it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The battle is not yours, but the battle is for the Lord. Hallelujah. Speak what God can do. Believe in Him. Believe in the Word of God and speak what God can do. You cannot do it on your own, but you can do it because God is with you. He says in the book of Isaiah that though you go through fires and problems and tough situations, I am ever with you. Amen. Hallelujah. So as you speak, He is with you. Say amen. Amen. So you have the power to speak life into your dead situation. Proverbs 18:20 up to 21, the Bible says, a man's stomach shall be justified from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Verses 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now listen to this. You can improve your life or destroy your life. And many people don't know this. But you have the power to improve your life or to destroy your life. You have the power to improve the life of your children or to destroy the lives of your children. You have the power to improve your spiritual life or to destroy it. Your physical life or to destroy it. This is your choice. This is your choice. You have the power to create it. When you confess negative, your stomach, your spiritual stomach, shall be filled with negativity. Every time you speak negative, you are filled with negativity. When you confess negative, negativity is going to be around you. You're going to be negative. You're going to see negativity. You're going to walk as a negative person, drive as a negative person, you know, speak as a negative person, eat as a negative. You know, everything around you is going to be negative, 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 negative. And at the end of everything, you're going to be so disappointed in life. Life is going to become a curse. Life is not a curse. Life is supposed to be a joy. Hallelujah. I always tell people, we are here to enjoy life in Christ. He came to give life and life to the fullness. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. We are people that are here to enjoy life. We are not people that are here to mourn and cry and grieve. We are here to rejoice, praise God, and worship God and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the life you've given me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for paying the price. I'm happy and excited today because of what you did at Calvary. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You know, church is not a place where we come and, sit down and fold our hands and feel sorry for one another and tell our problems. You know, this is happening to me. Oh, that is so little. What is happening to me is too big. You know, tell our problems and our sad stories. Yes, we can, you know, we encourage each other. You know that. We encourage each other. You have a problem. You know, come to a brother. You know, share your problem. But with faith. Pray together. Have a corporate prayer. But don't really feel sorry for yourself and sorry for another one and feel so bad. You know, we gather here to encourage ourselves, you know. Anyway, the Lord is good and He's about to come back and take us home and take away this burden that we have. There is 100% that you need to share on earth here. Amen. There is a joy that you're supposed to go through, the peace of God, because He paid a price for you. Now you can live happily in life and enjoy the life that God has given us. Hallelujah. And church is a happy place. It is the place to be. That's why in Uganda, churches are full every day, Monday to Friday. People have nowhere to go, but they come to church. Raise their hands every evening, Monday to Friday. Churches are full. Mothers, kids, and fathers, grandmas, and grandpas. Everyone comes. This is the place to be. What a wonderful place. Woo! Hallelujah! What a wonderful place. Amen. So we can decide to improve our lives. When you confess positive, you'll be filled with positive, and you will produce positive results. When you confess positive, you're going to be a positive person. Amen. If you've been walking while your head is down, you're going to raise your head and be straight. You're going to stand up, size up, and begin to walk happy in life. Amen. There are some people who walk when their heads are looking down. They can't even afford to look into your eyes because they are so sad. They feel sorry for themselves. But when you begin to confess positive things in your life around you and in your children, around the people that you live with, in your finances, in your restaurant, at your working place, in your office, you speak positive, positive. Now positive results are going to come. In the name of Jesus, you're going to be a positive person. Come on, you need to be positive. You need to be a positive person. You need to live a positive life. Life and death lies on your tongue. You can make it. You can change it. You can create again. It doesn't matter what you see. It is not your fault that you were created like that. Maybe you have a funny background, a bad background, and it is not your problem. It is not your fault. But you can change it now. You can change it now. And that's what I say. You know, I wasn't born in a rich family. It's not my problem. It's not my problem. I'm less concerned. It's not my fault. It is not. It's not my fault. It's not my problem. These are not my issues. Yesterday is not my issue. Amen? Now I look at today. What God says today, what God has to do for me today, and to give me today, and to give me tomorrow. I look at the future. Where am I going? So don't tell me my background and the stories, what my grandpa did and my grandma, and how many hearts my grandpa broke, you know, and all the women he promised to marry and he didn't marry them. That's not my problem. It is not my issue. Amen. Yeah, it's true. Many of us have bad backgrounds, but it's not my issue. It's not your issue. Yeah, amen. We know who we are. We have discovered ourselves. Amen. We read the scriptures. Now we know that we can change things. Now I'm changing my generation. You know, I always come, I come across people who speak negative things about their families. You can change your generation. You can change. You can change what your mother did. You can change what your father did. You can do what your grandpa did not afford to do. You can do what your grandma did not afford to do. If your mother wasn't good at you, you can be good at your children. Amen? Amen? If your father didn't pay child support, you pay your child support. You can change your generation. Change things around you. Amen. We are here to change the world. We are here to create new things in the world. Yes, America has different issues. But we don't stand with other people, negative people. Let us be positive. The church is here and you are responsible for America. You can change America. Amen. You can change America. I know there are many problems, and I read the newspapers, I watch TV, I know things that are happening and not good. People are fighting one another, people are killed, and terrorism and everything. I know all these problems, but listen to me. I'm not here to support them. I'm not going to be negative and really make it a big deal. What I'm going to do is to minimize what the devil has done and glorify what God can do in America. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We can change it. We can create again. Hallelujah. We have the answer. Church has the answer. You have the answer. You're here to change things. You're here to improve things. We are the salt of the world. We are the light of the world. Amen. Amen. When people think they are going to die, we speak life. Amen. I was coming on the plane, and I sat this near this old lady, the grandma, and she looked afraid. And I was like, hello? Because this is our job. This is our job. Encourage people. Lift up people. Help people. Amen? Amen. And she was sitting next to me, and someone was in the middle of us. I was on the other side, and she was on the window. And I talked to this gentleman. I said, hello, I think I need to help that old lady. Can you come to my seat? Can we switch seats? And he said, yeah, it's okay. So I went in the middle, sat near this lady, and, you know, talked to her. And she was like, She didn't even want to talk to me. She was afraid of the plane. And I began talking to her. And she began explaining to me, and, you know, what happened in 9/11, and she was afraid, and you don't blame her, you know what I'm saying. But I began speaking to her, step by step, speaking to her. By the time we landed in Washington, D.C., you know, man, she was eating everything on the plane. She was excited. Amen. So, you know, people are so discouraged. But we are here with the answer. Let's help people. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the world. When other people feel like they are dying tomorrow, we say, no, we have a future. We still have a vision. We are still focused, and we are still marching on. When their heads are down, we tell them, hey, raise your heads and see what God is about to do. Come on, see ahead and see what God is about to do. Hallelujah. And I know my country is not going through well, but I speak life every day about Uganda. And I know Uganda one day shall come up again. in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I know there are many people there that are not saved. But let's witness and also pray and speak salvation in their lives. Hallelujah. So we must be careful with the words that we always speak. We must be very sensitive with the words that we always speak, knowing that we create, we improve, or destroy. We can bring a future or destroy. Amen. We can speak life or speak death. Come on, say amen. And we must know that God has given us power. Well, you know, let me say this. For you to really understand the power that you have as you confess, you also need to understand God, who He is, what He can do. And also, after understanding God's position, you understand your position in God. Who are you? What can you do? What do you have? Now, after you understand that God is your Father, because of Jesus, we are children of God. We have access to our Father. Ooh, hallelujah. We can speak to Him every time we want. We share authority. He has given us authority on the earth. Ooh, let's read this scripture. Matthew 16. Hallelujah. Ooh, this one now excites me. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Matthew 16:19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Oh my goodness. We have the keys of His kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is the authority that we have. Whatever you command on earth or in heaven will happen. The key is the word of God. Oh, my goodness. The key is the word of God. You, whatever you bind on earth, come on, will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The key that God has given you as a believer, and this is the power of the church, and no man will take away this power from the church. Whatever we speak, whatever we bind, whatever we lose will be loose in heaven. This is the power of the church. It's the power of the believer. We have a great family. We have the power. We have the key that He has given us. And the Bible tells me in Psalms, you can write it down, in Psalms 68:11, God gave the word, great was the company of those who proclaimed it. God gave us the word. But what makes it great when we speak it? Woo. Many of you read the Bible and make it your pillow. You sleep at night and you make it your pillow. But until you get your Bible and read it and understand it, speak the word, it will never do anything to you. Who will never do anything to you? You get what I'm saying? Read the word, speak the word, proclaim the word. Then you'll be great. Great was the company that proclaimed the word. God gave the word, but the great was the company that proclaimed, that understood, that put it in action. You know, many people come to church and sit in the pews and listen to the pastor and say, "Whoo, preach it, pastor. I feel good. This is good. Oh, yeah, hallelujah." And after that, hello. They leave the word in the pews and they go back with their Bibles back home and they have nothing. They have nothing. Many people come to church. And when you ask them after church, "Oh, how was the service?" "Oh, man, it was great. It was good. Oh, he preached. This small man from Africa. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my, it was awesome." But with no substance. I'm not knocking anyone now here. I'm not, you know. But you understand what I'm saying? The Bible tells us that we are not supposed to be hearers only, but be doers of the word. This word here has no power unless you understand it and put it into action and begin to proclaim. Faith comes by hearing the word, and faith comes by hearing the word. You know, before you hear the word and put it in action, and you do it, be doers of the word and not just hearers. Amen. So this is how we get our faith. You know, you don't get your faith by going to the wall and hit your head on the wall and say, "I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus." No. Faith doesn't come by jumping up and boxing and, "Dear Jesus, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe." No. Yeah, I believe, I believe. Amen. But faith comes by hearing the word and understanding the word. And put the word in action. Begin to speak the word. Say, "Hey, though I am sick, but I'm healed. I don't have nothing to eat today, but I am rich. I feel weak, but I am strong. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul." I know every morning the devil brings reports to you. Every night when you go to bed, you know, from church on Wednesday, Sunday morning, you go back excited, you're so happy. And the devil comes in the night and say, "Hey, your bills. Your bills. Hey, your kids. Uh-huh. You know now, uh-huh. I got you." But whose report shall we believe? Whose report shall we believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter what the devil says. What matters is what God says. You can be what the Bible says you can be. You can go where the Bible says you can go. You can live like the Bible says you can live. We are what God says we are. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, every time we proclaim or declare the word, it is activated. You activate the word of God by confessing it. Amen. You give power to the word of God. You activate the word of God. Every time you proclaim the word of God, it's activated. A spoken word makes you great. A spoken word makes you great. God spoke a word, but you need to activate it in order for it to work. Before you see anything, you have to say it. Before you see anything happen, you have to speak it. This is a principle. I like it. Every time I've come here, you're a child that confesses the word of God. I like your confession. I like your confession. Nations are coming to me. I need to learn that. Nations are coming to me. Oh my goodness. Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. Before you see anything, you have to say it. Now let us take an example of God himself. You can write this verse down, Genesis 1:3. Let us just take an example of our father. Kids have to follow their parents anyway. Amen? Genesis 1:3, the Bible says, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Verses 4. God saw that the light was good. Oh my goodness. Before he saw, he had to say. He created by the word. His eyes did not see anything good. But once he said, "Let there be light," the Bible says, there was light. What else? Then he saw what? Everything was good. Everything was good. So before you see, you say. Come on, what do you want to say? What do you want to see? Say it. How do you want your house? Say it. You know, I haven't given birth. I have kids that I've adopted. They're wonderful kids. I have a girl and a boy. But Every time I speak, what I want to see my daughter becomes in future. I speak. I do what my dad did when I was growing up. Every time, this was our culture. Before I went to school, I went before my dad. He laid his hands on me and said words. And prayed over me. And sometimes he came to bed when I was late. He wakes me up, lays his hands on me, and pray and speak words. And I remember the words he said. I remember them because he said them over and over again. Oh, thank God for my father. Come on. Amen. He used to talk to me and he said, "You're going to be a great preacher. You're going to travel nations. You're going to preach in nations. You're going to carry the banner of Jesus." I'm 28, but so far I've preached in 10 nations. 10 nations. And I'm not saying this because I want you to say, woo, woo, woo. No. But I'm telling you what the word can do. I've preached in Africa, America, Europe, and Asia. 10 nations at the age of 28. Why? Because my dad spoke the word. And guess what? I have a brother who's a businessman. You know what? He used to lay his hands on him and say, "You're going to be a businessman. You're going to support the church." Guess what? He's a businessman. He says, "Hey, Wilberforce, I cannot preach. I've tried. I cannot. But I can make money." So everywhere he goes, he says, "Wilberforce, I can make money here. I can make money there." So he's a money maker. He loves making money and giving the money to the church. That's his job. That's his ministry. And everywhere I go, I tell him, "Oh, he needs Jesus. I need to pray for so-and-so. I need to preach." Yeah. Preaching, and reading the Bible and praying for him. He says, "I need to make money." Why? Because our dad spoke words every morning. Don't get tired of speaking to your children. It doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter what is happening. You know, in Europe and America, every parent you talk to is miserable. The system. You know, the system has become a system. You know, our kids are in the system, and the kids are rebellious. The kids are not rebellious. Don't speak it. They are good kids. Our kids belong to the church, and they belong to families. They don't belong to the system. Break it. Come on, break it. Don't confess like your grandpa confessed. Break it now. Amen. So all the time I speak to my daughter, every time I speak to my son, every time I need God to pray, I pray for Lydian, I pray for Benjamin. I say, "Lord, my son must be a preacher. Lord, my daughter must be a meat servant in your house." Because this is what I need to speak to my children. And I'm sorry, Pastor, to use you as an example, but I love Pastor's family. I should say that every time I go to the internet and check it out, I see the family, the names, and man, this is a job that we need to do. Speak to our children. Bring our children to church. Amen. Buy them candies, but also buy Bibles to them. Amen. Say it before you see it. Amen. So you need to change your confession, even with your children. The way you talk to your children, the way the conversations in your house should be positive. Should be positive. Let them hear positive things. You know, positive, positive, positive. Amen. So before you say it, and before you see it, you have to say it. Now, I'm about to end here, but let us go to Proverbs. You can write it down to redeem time. Proverbs 10:14. I need to show you that even wise people are seen by what they say. The Bible says, "Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction." You want to see a wise person? Don't look at what they are dressed, or the car they are driving, or listen when they speak. When they speak. Amen. Listen to what they say. If you want to see a hungry person, listen to him while he speaks. Hallelujah. So if you want to see if you want to see a wise person, listen to what he says. You need to train your mouth. You need to train your mouth. Because people will judge you according to what you say. People will respect you according to what you say. Okay? Train your mouth. Your mouth can cause problems and trouble for you. Let me tell you a little story. My mouth caused trouble for me. Some years ago, I don't know if you're familiar to this, Pastor, but some years ago, I used to take Bibles into Sudan, and it was dangerous. I used to smuggle. Let me use it this way, because this is what I used to do anyway. I used to smuggle Bibles into Sudan, and take trucks in my pants and pack suitcases and smuggle them into Sudan. And, you know, one time, because of what I saw in Sudan, people were suffering, and it hurt me. The slaves, you know, it really hurt me. And sometimes when you're hurt, you know, when you feel hurt, when your heart is troubled, you speak what you feel sometimes. When you're happy, you speak what you feel. Amen? And so I come to the border. I was getting ready to enter into the country. But remember, I'm a smuggler. I have two suitcases full of Bibles. My pants are full of tracks. My boots are full of tracks. And everything, you know, I was treading on dangerous grounds. And so I come. I looked young. By that time, I was very young and small, innocent. But I knew what I was carrying. So I come near these tall guys. They were northerners, but they look like the southerners. You know, the northerners are slave traders and the southerners are slaves. They're Christians. So they look like Christians people. And we were in this queue, having my papers and everything, trying to go into the country. And these guys come to me, looking nice, simple, and they began talking to me. I said, "Hey, how are you?" I said, "I'm fine." They were very tall. "I'm fine. I'm looking good." "All right, where are you coming from?" "Oh, Uganda." "What do you do?" "I'm a teacher." "Oh, you're a teacher. Okay. Let me see your papers." Yeah. Oh, and they were so nice for over 30 minutes. And they began talking their thing about slave trading and da, 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 da. They really wanted to hear what we said. And other people were so quiet. But because I had not trained my mouth, one of them asked me, "What do you think about slave traders?" And I said, "Thank God they asked me. Let me tell them. What they are doing is evil." "Oh, okay. It's evil." "Yes, it's evil. What do you suggest? What should they do?" "Let them take the people of God back to their land." And they're like, "Okay, okay." So these guys go back to their office, and I didn't know. I thought they were traveling with us. Went back to their office, and one of the guards came for me and said, "Hey, young man, come to the office." And I was in trouble. I go to the office. They give me papers. They say, "Hey, now you choose. We either put you in prison here or we deport you." I'm like, "Deport me?" And I was deported. I had a bad case. Deportation is a bad case. Anyway, I changed my papers and I went back to my job. I smuggled Bibles again. But listen, this time I learned how to speak. After I changed my papers and everything, changing my names and everything, I took Bibles again into Sudan, and I was so successful because I knew how to balance my words. I know what they are doing is not good, but listen, if I just say everything I feel, the way I feel it, I'm destroying the mission. We are on a mission. We are on a mission. We need to train our mouth. We are going somewhere. But how do we speak? How do we confess? Say amen. Say hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. So your future is in your mouth. Say, "My future is in my mouth. I can speak my future. I can create what I want to see. In the name of Jesus. I have the authority, I have the power to create, to change things. I can change my nation. I can change my people. I will speak the word, and the word will be activated. The word of God is a strong word. It creates in the name of Jesus." Oh, praise the Lord. Begin to worship him now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, Master. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for today, Lord. We give you praise for your word. Oh, we give you praise, Master. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. We shall speak the word, Father. Thank you for authority you've given us, God. Oh, we give you praise, Lord, for what you've done for us, for the price you've paid. Thank you, Jesus, for making us who we are today. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and all that glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you.